At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. Governor Greg Abbott has yet to announce if he'll call a special legislative session or what the agenda would include if he does call one. At times, during the regular session that ended last week, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick was accused of trying to overstep Abbott's authority. He denied that yesterday on WFAA's Inside Texas Politics.
I'm doing my job as Lieutenant Governor of Texas, but the governor is the governor, and I respect the power and the authority of the governor.
At the end of the session, the House and the Senate fought over issues such as education, the state budget, and transgender public restroom use. Patrick, who presides over the Senate, accused House Speaker Joe Strauss of being out of touch with Texans.
Greg Abbott and I run statewide. We lay out our policy issues, and people either support us or they don't. They overwhelmingly supported us on the issues like property tax, sanctuary cities, privacy, all of those issues. The speaker is elected by 150 members. So he really represents 55 Democrats and a block of moderates who elect him as speaker.
Patrick threatened to push a special session if property tax reform and the bathroom bill did not pass. The House eventually passed a compromise version of the bathroom bill, but the Senate rejected it. Researchers at UT Southwestern Medical Center have been looking into reasons why patients return to hospitals within 30 days. Last year, we told you about patients discharged with unstable vital signs. The latest findings in the study find a high rate of patients with anemia as they were about to go home. The lead author, Dr. Anil Mockham, explained what's behind this finding.
The two main reasons that we found for why people develop hospital-acquired anemia in the hospital were undergoing a major surgery or being in the hospital for a long time. While it's intuitively understood why people lose blood during a major surgery, it's often underappreciated the cumulative blood loss from repeated blood tests while people are in the hospital, especially if they're there for a long period of time.
This is regarded as a common problem. So what is it in particular that the UT Southwestern study was wanting to find out?
So we are trying to examine not only how common it occurred, how common the severe hospital-acquired anemia occurred, what were the causes of hospital-acquired anemia, and what were the consequences of people who developed hospital-acquired anemia, particularly when they left the hospital and went home. So we included a combination of community and academic teaching hospitals in the North Texas area. So we included over 11,000 hospitalizations, and we found that hospital-acquired anemia occurred in one-third of all hospitalizations. Typically, the severity was mild or moderate. Mm-hmm. However, we found that up to 1% to 2% of all patients, these folks developed severe hospital-acquired anemia, which was equivalent to losing approximately 3 to 4 pints of blood.
Am I wrong to think that's a very high rate?
That is a lot, especially in a short period of time. But fortunately, the severe hospital-acquired anemia doesn't occur as common as mild or moderate. But what we found is when people lose that amount of blood during their hospital course, they were more likely to have to come back to the hospital within 30 days after they initially left, or they actually died during that 30-day window.
When you leave the hospital, though, aren't you supposed to do so not having anemia?
Well, anemia oftentimes is considered as a change in their blood counts, but doesn't always necessarily translate into people feeling worse. So if people don't necessarily feel bad at the time, if the blood loss is stopped, meaning that they're done with their surgery or they're not undergoing more blood tests, mm-hmm. oftentimes we think, you know, we'll send them home and they'll get better. I think what our study shines a light on is that these incidental changes in their blood count might not be incidental, and they might actually have consequences that are often underappreciated in terms of monitoring them more closely and repeating their blood counts when they leave the hospital.
What can be done to prevent this?
So our study doesn't establish direct preventability. But what our findings do suggest is that to mitigate or to lessen the effects of hospital-acquired anemia, minimizing or reducing blood loss from serial blood testing during the hospital stay is one possible way to prevent or mitigate hospital-acquired anemia.
So, meaning what? They're doing more blood tests than are really necessary?
So blood testing is extremely useful to make a diagnosis and to monitor how people are recovering and responding to therapies. However, during the course of a hospitalization, as patients become stable and are improving, the utility of getting a daily blood test or sometimes twice daily blood tests become much lower. And I think what's underappreciated is the cumulative blood loss from all those daily testings, especially as people are in the hospital for a long period of time.
So just really keeping an eye on what's going on during the tests and the results of it.
Yeah. So I think from a physician or healthcare standpoint, thinking about how do we minimize the blood loss during these blood tests, as well as I think our study encourages patients and families to ask doctors, what's the value of getting a daily blood test, especially if they're feeling like they're getting better?
It's not intrusive in any way, or?
No, I actually encourage my patients to ask me. I give all my patients a handout that encourages them to ask me why we're getting tests, what the tests are helping with. And what doing nothing actually means in terms of not just testing, but also treatments. I think the movement in terms of increasing patient and family engagement in their care is welcomed, obviously, if you do it in a polite manner. Mm-hmm. But I don't think doctors are necessarily dismayed when when patients or families do ask whether diagnostic or different therapies are helping.
Dr. Mockham, thank you for being with me.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, Sam.
Dr. Anil Mockham is an assistant professor of internal medicine and clinical sciences and a member of the Center for Patient-Centered Outcomes Research at UT Southwestern Medical Center. May had less rain than usual, but Jason Godwin with the National Weather Service said dry soil didn't cause this weekend's flooding.
And so even though the ground can hold that water, if it comes down very fast, it doesn't have time to soak in, so it runs off. And that's particularly a problem in urban areas where you have a lot of concrete that, you know, can't absorb any water. That rain just runs off. So it's been more about the rate of rain.
Flooding will be a main concern today as rain's expected in the forecast. In that forecast, 50% chance of rain through the day, 20% chance of it tonight. The high should get up to around 86 degrees, overnight lows 74. Right now it's 72 degrees in Dallas, 70 in Fort Worth, Wichita Falls, and Tyler. This is KERA News. It's 8:30.